Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Mulletcast, the podcast where business and pleasure collide. My name is Evan Balmer. Follow me on Instagram at Evan Balmer. Our guest today is Christine Visconti. Christine is a realtor with RE/MAX Real Estate Limited in Red Bank. Follow her on Facebook. We got her tagged. You can check it out there and follow her on Instagram at Christine_Visconti. What's going on, Christine?
Good morning. How are you?
I'll spell Christine for everyone real quick because there's a few variations, right? It's C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. What's going on? How are you?
I'm great. Coming off of our Labor Day weekend. Welcome back.
That's right. And I understand it was your birthday weekend.
It certainly was. Chrissy Day weekend, not Labor Day weekend.
That's cool. So how was your birthday celebration?
It was great. As I told you, we filled it up with a wedding in Pennsylvania, which was awesome. And then just going out and good old mean streets of Red Bank.
Nice. The hard scrabble streets. I follow you on Instagram. I didn't know it was your birthday until I saw the picture. It was awesome of like two straws with a couple double Bloody Mary system going on.
It was. The bartender messed up and made two tequila ones instead of one vodka one and one tequila one. So my friend took a sip of hers and she's like, oh, God, no. And the bartender said, well, happy birthday, ma'am.
Sweet. So are you of the tequila variation?
I seem to be these days.
That's great. How'd that come about? Try out an error just like that?
No. You know what's really funny? I was, you know, as we get older, the days for hangovers are not so fun.
This is true.
And they say that tequila is actually an upper. So my one of my mortgage lenders, one day I was like, I'm not drinking anymore. I'm always sad the following day. He's like, then you got to drink tequila, man. And and ever since that, it's been tequila. So thank you, Anthony Muscarella, for making me a better woman. No, I'm just kidding. The hangover still sucks. That's at 35.
Right. So you took a little winding path to get into real estate. What'd you do before real estate?
So I was a senior merchandise coordinator for a women's footwear company called Camuto Group, which was owned by, it was a licensing footwear company that was owned by Vince Camuto. And I had the great pleasure of working underneath Vince for about 6 years. And we were licensed to handle brands for Tory Burch, Jessica Simpson, BCBG, Lucky Brand, Louis Etsy, and quite a handful of other names. And we also did handbags and such. So it was cool because I went from Atlantic City up to Buffalo, New York, and I handled major department stores.
Right.
So we would go in and set up little vignettes and stories of our product and brand and do product knowledge seminars. We'd also do personal appearances with like Jessica Simpson, Vince Camuto, and they would come into the stores and meet all their clients and stuff. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it was fascinating.
How'd you get into that line of work?
Funny story. I was sitting at a bar.
Right.
Everybody's gonna think I'm an alcoholic by the end of this, but I actually really don't drink that much. I was sitting at a bar with a girlfriend of mine, and at that point I was a hairstylist, and I was talking to her, and she actually worked for Camuto Group, and I said, God, I would love to really get into that, but I never finished my education, and you had to have your bachelor's degree to just get in the door. And she's like, well, why don't you try it? Just try it. And I put in for it, and I had the experience. I had a lot of experience. I had sales experience. I worked at Nordstrom as well. Mm-hmm. And I was also a people person because I was a hairstylist. So, I was a therapist and a hairstylist.
Right. That's right.
So essentially, I really had the credentials just except for my degree. So they saw the value in me and they brought me on, and it was just a really good path for me to take.
That's cool. And how did you get started? And I mean, once you got into it, did you pick up the skills like quickly?
Yeah. You know, my boss, Laura, will tell you to this day, and we still joke about it, that I was just the worst at paperwork. And like I told you that little story this morning, you know, anything hands-on, visual, face-to-face, I'm amazing. But it comes down to like the paperwork end of it, I just, I never persevered in that.
Right.
It was always like, how they say, like, you have your review every year and it's like, you know, meets expectation, exceeds. And then it was like paperwork. And she was like, needs improvement always.
That's pretty funny.
But she would know, especially coming into the stores, meeting everybody, that, you know, I was showing up every day and doing a stellar job. It just wasn't good at writing it down on paper.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I think a lot of people are that way. Like, I'm the same way. It's like that's the stuff you don't want to deal with, right?
Yeah.
Like, you want to do everything else.
Yeah, like we're extroverts. Before,
just like, you know, notebooks and everything like that. You have a million of them, a couple planners, a couple calendars, you know.
Yeah.
It's a pain in the neck. So what was like a highlight from that time for you?
I will say working for Vince. Yeah. Like getting to work with somebody that was truly passionate for his brand, mm-hmm. right? So when he had a store opening, he went to every single store opening,
right.
and he would meet his clients. When he did personal appearances, he, even if it was at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he was there in the morning rally at 8 a.m. to literally exude like his passion into all of the people there that were repping him that day. And right. for me to see somebody that had come so far and so long, down to the day that he had cancer, like he literally showed up every single day until he passed away. And like for me, that's so powerful, just to see somebody that was so passionate about what his life was.
Mm-hmm.
And I always, like, I get the chills. And I started, when I started with Vince Camuto, my first public or personal appearance with him was at Short Hills Mall. And the last one, right before I left, I had to do a seminar in front of the entire shoe department. So there was like 50 people in there.
Wow.
And I was talking about him. I literally started hysterically crying,
right.
because it was my last one. And I had to tell them that I was leaving. And this is where I started. And Vince had already passed.
Oh,
so it just got super emotional. And I didn't know that, like, I was going to, like, I didn't plan that. I'm talking about shoes, for Christ's sakes.
Right.
I'm like, here's the platform. And I just started sobbing. And the manager was like, oh, dear God, please walk out.
That's crazy. So was that part of your job, is like going into stores and sort of like previewing the line that's coming out?
So I was the liaison from our company to the major department store. So I would go in and let them know about all of the product that was coming out for the season, the style, what the trends were for the runway,
right.
and then we'd also do like little things to kind of get them super excited for like our brand and whatnot.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So how did you get out of that line of work? Like, what was your plan? You said it was your last day. Where were you going into at that point?
So that's when I already had been doing real estate part time. So rewind a little bit. In 2012, I was in a pretty ugly car accident. And I hurt my back really, really bad. And I wound up having 14 rounds of epidurals and back surgery.
Wow.
So I wound up getting my real estate license. And in that time that I was home after my back surgery, I wound up taking the test for my real estate license. And then I had gotten into it when I went back to work, and I was just doing it part time. And I realized that, you know, the fashion industry I loved, and it just wasn't what it was once before.
Right.
And, you know, it was either taking the leap of faith and going into real estate and figuring it out, or, you know, taking a leap of faith into that industry more of fashion and moving into the city and really kind of hitting the pavement there. So as you and I had spoken about, I had kind of picked from everything I've ever done in life what I really loved about, you know, those careers, being right. a hairstylist and makeup artist, and then also getting into, I was distributing sales consultant for L'Oreal, a company called Raylon, which is a third party company. Working for them, like what I liked, the freedom and all of that. And I kind of pieced it all together. And real estate was a huge, huge thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Years before I got into real estate, I met an agent named Rob Dukansky. You know, everybody sees his billboards everywhere.
Right.
I love him. He's so funny. It's funny seeing his face on a billboard all the time, because like when you know him, you just know, like, it's just, I don't know. It's like people see him but don't know him.
Right.
So it's, I have like a different impression of him. And he's awesome. He had said to me once, like, hey, you should get into real estate. We were all out one night. I was going to Europe the following day. And I'm like, I don't really care about real estate. I just want to go to Europe.
Right.
I'm going to backpack through Europe. And then years later, that kind of like came to mind when I was thinking about it. I'm like, man, I should really think about real estate, because it would be something great. It gives me the freedom I want. I'd be my own business owner. I'm allowed to make whatever I want for the amount I'm going to put into it.
Right.
And I essentially wound up reaching out to him, and he helped me and he guided me into getting my license and everything. Right. And I'm super thankful to him for that. Yeah, he definitely was a huge part of like where I am today.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So did you say you were recovering from a major accident and surgery and everything? Yeah. And so you decided to study for your real estate license?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like most people are like,
I'm sitting there and I baked my first pie ever the day after surgery. I made my best friend take me to Wegmans and I was riding around on like one of those little carts. Nice. They had electric ones and people were like legit mad at me because I was a young kid like on that. And they were like stopping short in front of me. I'm like, I'm legitimately hurt. Like right. I deserve to be in this wheelchair right now. It's fun though.
That's funny. So how's your recovery been from that?
Up and down for sure. It's been up and down. You have your good days and your bad days, mm-hmm. right? There was instant relief though. Like when I woke up from surgery, yeah. I thought I was like superwoman. I'm like, I'm walking out of here. And I did. And I walked out and they like walked me down to the elevator and out to my mom's car. And I'm like,
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I did it. Like, I didn't need a wheelchair.
Right.
And we're driving. I'm like, Mom, pull over. I'm going to puke. And I did. And she did.
Right.
And it was...
That's the type of person I am.
Like, I'm superwoman. I don't need you.
No, yeah. I mean, I'm the chain reaction guy.
So
if someone pukes by me, I'm next in line.
Yeah. But it was good. All things were good. And, you know, I wound up, like I said, the instant relief on the pain that was in my hip going down my leg was gone.
Right.
But I have my moments now with a lot of like the weather change or if it's going to rain, but just working on it. I have to constantly build my core workout. I told you I became very big on cycling and I love riding.
Right.
So it's just kind of going from there.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. So as you're getting started, you're recovering and getting started in real estate at the same time. How did that work out?
You know what? I was very lucky my first year. I'm at that age, at that point, and still at that point, where all my friends were getting married
right.
and moving out or buying their first home or their second home. And it just all like, and I went in right in the spring.
Right.
I resigned from Camuto Group in like February or March or something. It was in April. And I went right into real estate, the busiest time. And
right.
then I went and I joined a team. So I was on a team that was super busy. And so it wasn't even like, I remember one day I was sitting there, I was putting in three offers on like a Wednesday and I was like, oh my God, I don't know how to write all this up. Like, what is going on? I was sitting on my friend's patio, like, I don't know who to do what. And none of them got accepted, which was even funnier. But it was crazy that was like, you know, I went into it in my first year. I think I had like 9 or 10 transactions in just a half a year.
Right.
So it kind of just worked out really well. And then my second year was like 22 transactions.
Wow.
And then I decided to move around a little bit. So it declined a bit. And then I moved again. Mm-hmm. And that's when I came down this way.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So you started out in North Jersey, then came down, relocated to Red Bank.
Yes.
So what team were you on initially?
The Rob. Christian Kavanaugh.
Okay.
No. So, yeah. Well, I was on Rob's team.
Right.
For like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And he has a huge business.
Right.
And I needed a little bit more coddling.
Gotcha.
And he's not like, he's a powerhouse, mm-hmm. as you could obviously see. And I needed something that was a little more small.
Right.
So I decided to go off to this guy, Christian,
mm-hmm.
who was with Keller Williams out of Westfield, but
okay.
a bulk of his business was out in White House Station.
Right.
He lives on Stanton Ridge out there. So he has a stellar business out there. So I did, and I learned from him, and he had such patience. He's an angel because I was not easy.
Right.
And he was so good with me. But he's very good at his business and where it's at, right? So when I went onto his team alone, he was doing $22 million by himself.
Right.
So he's a powerhouse, and it was so great to learn from him. But I needed to make a move, and I had sat down with my manager, and I was going through the numbers, and I was actually trying to move down here, and she kind of swayed me into going and staying up there and going to a bigger team,
right?
So essentially, my biggest complaints were just only bigger complaints on this bigger team.
Right.
So it was just kind of like, I understood why, like, A, her and I had a personal friendship and she wanted me to stay up there.
Sure.
And B, obviously they want me to stay with their company and in that area.
Totally.
So I was naive and I wasn't realizing that. And so I wound up leaving Christian, which was very painful. It wasn't easy on either of us. Mm. But I needed to grow and I wasn't there. You know, like I'd hit the end of my mark there. So I went to this bigger team, which was the Olden Dorp group up in they're based out of the Summit office, but they're really big in Madison. That's where they grew up and everything. And they're amazing. Just the team itself, there was it was a powerhouse. There was about 14 of us between the back end. Xander and his mother, Susan, were the top, were the listing agents, and then the rest of us. And the ladies on the team were just delightful.
Right.
And it was just they took me in and they really helped me and like kind of like mothered me through because I wasn't from up in that area, you know, so I was learning everything. And then they had their other son, Charlie, on the team, who was just a saint, and everybody loved Charlie. And they were great. They were wonderful. And I was really coming into my own, living up in Summit, had a great apartment, exposed brick. It was like the perfect, like if you could put like a mark and a dot on like the perfect lifestyle, I literally lived right here, and I walked 10 feet across the street. That was my office, and I walked 10 feet to the right, and there was the best bar in town. So here I am again. So I had like the trifecta right there. But it wasn't, I didn't feel at home.
Right.
I didn't feel at home, and I just felt that I was always trying to be by the water.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I came to the decision that like I was moving. I was moving down south. I didn't care how I was doing it, and I did.
That's cool.
And that's what I did last July.
Right.
So a little over a year ago.
That's cool. So would you recommend for someone that wants to get into real estate, considering, do you think joining a team is a good way to get started, or would you do it differently now?
You know, no. I mean, for me personally, it worked.
Right.
It worked really well just because I need a little bit of like that. I wanted that hand holding.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a powerhouse and you could go out there and you have no fear, like I didn't have fear, but I also came from a background where I had a set paycheck. I had 401k. I had health insurance.
Right.
And even going into it, I didn't have any of those things going into it. So I guess it was like a comfort of having somebody stand behind me in a way.
Right.
But I kind of wish that maybe I would have kind of stuck through, because like a lot of those transactions in the beginning were my own.
Right.
So I would have had all of that instead of sharing it with a team.
Sure.
So, but I'm thankful because I did learn from the best as well. Like Christian was literally like treated me like his kid.
Right.
Like I would literally call him office dad. So he was like, when I say, and it was a hard, like when I left, it was really hard because there was such a great relationship. And I thank him so much for like what he did for me, but it was time for me to move on. But I do like give him all the credit in the world because I am who I am today because of how he taught me. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. Yeah. And I mean, I guess the part of it, there's probably good team experiences and bad team experiences.
Yeah.
So it sort of varies.
It's just on your personality too. And what I really did like about Keller Williams is that they, when I went in with them, they would personality test us. Rob did it too. Mm-hmm. They would personality test you and they would let you know where your strengths and your weaknesses are.
Right.
And they would kind of like pair you together that way. And that taught me, because like coming into other companies, like when I came down here, the company I came into, they didn't do that.
Right.
And it's like, how do you know how to separate somebody and the type of person they are and how they work?
Right.
Right. So you know their strengths and their weaknesses. And I think personally for me, when I get to the level of having a personal assistant, like I'm going to personality test them because I need somebody who's the polar opposite of me because I need them to fill in my weaknesses.
Right.
Like this, I'm great at.
Sure.
But like that back end stuff, like that's where I need you to be good at.
Right. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only way it's going to work.
Yeah.
Right. It's interesting. I just heard a podcast this weekend with Danny Meyer, who is a restaurateur in New York, started Shake Shack.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? Which went from one location into now IPO and nationwide, right? But his like whole philosophy was the same thing. It was personality test, and he calls it like, I want to say your instead of your IQ, your HQ, which is your hospitality quotient. So yeah. For him, like to create a atmosphere, particular vibe that he wants in his restaurants, he has to know these people have that early on.
Yep.
Right. And as you grow, it's harder and harder. So I think that's a good idea. And a lot of people don't do that.
No, because it's so hard. They just want to pull people in
right. All
the time and just get the ball rolling. But that's like worse in the end, because then you become connected, or some right. People aren't really good at hiring and firing. Like, I don't want to ever have to fire somebody.
Right.
Like leaving when I had to leave Christian's team, it was like the hardest.
Sure.
Like I felt like I was having a breakup. You know what I mean? And you are essentially.
Totally.
And it's so like it becomes so personal,
right.
You know, and it's not fun, but like if you kind of have that level of professionalism and you're like setting the bar and the standard, like this is what I'm expecting of you from the get-go, this is why you're getting this personality test, because
right.
I need you to persevere in this
yep.
these
right.
categories. So
so what did you learn about your personality from the test?
Everything I know that yeah. I suck at the back end. Paperwork and I are not friends,
right.
But the face-to-face, it's me. I've always been a natural networker.
Mm-hmm.
My mom and my sisters and my family always laugh. They're like, you could go anywhere in the world
right.
and you know somebody.
Right.
And it's weird. Like me and my girlfriend, Casey, we went to, where were we going? We were going to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the airport in Mexico and I hear, Chrissy, is that you? And it wound up being my friend's sister-in-law.
No way.
And it was like, they were staying at our same hotel, and then the ride back when we're going to the airport, I wound up knowing this lady that was connected in the whole hair beauty industry as a distributing sales consultant, that we knew all the same people. It was just so like random. And
right.
my friend Casey's like, how do you do this? Like, why do you always right. know somebody? And she's in the front seat puking because we totally, it was like, but it's true. And that's where I'm at.
Right.
Like, I'm sure you, as like we met, you were able to kind of feel that for me.
Right,
like,
totally.
I legitimately love people. Like,
right.
I love meeting people and like kind of connecting and like having like something in common.
Right.
And sometimes that's overpowering for
yeah,
people.
That's
true.
So I was going to ask you then, you relocate.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
To Red Bank, and you end up with Remax Real Estate
yeah.
Limited.
Yeah.
And for most people, it would be difficult to like, all right, we're going to transplant you into a new area where you didn't live, you don't know anybody.
Yeah.
How do you get a business started that way? But it sounds like it wasn't difficult for you then.
No. So, I'm coming down this way and I'm still growing myself down here, right?
Right.
So I still have business that I'm doing up there, but I'm slowly creeping down this way.
Right.
I have a lot of friends, family, and so forth down here. Mm-hmm. Just networking.
Right.
Honestly, getting my name out there, getting people used to who I am,
mm-hmm.
and kind of showing them that, I'm worthy of the business down
right.
here. And I am, like
right.
I put my heart and soul into it, and any past client of mine will absolutely contest to that. They,
right.
I keep in touch with them as much as I possibly can in my spare time.
Right.
I try and literally keep those people in my life forever.
That's
because
cool.
I just have such great like relationships with them. Like I always talk about my first client, Jack and Sam. I love
right.
them. And I talk about them all the time because they were just such like a big part of my career, but like still to this day, like I met them, they were getting married, then I had their baby shower, and then the baby's christening, and then all those things that it's like milestones in their lives that I feel like I'm part of,
right.
even though like I can't be there with them all the time, like they'll forever be in my life.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you had said that when you sent me some info about yourself, that you view this as more, you're not doing like a one-off transaction, you're developing like a lifelong relationship with people.
Yeah. And that's always how I've been. Like, it's so funny because like my mom and my sister say, like, how do you like, you go into things and you meet people and then like you come out, like, as I told you, like I still do weddings, hair and makeup.
Right.
And the other day I had a bride from Amsterdam, and my mom's like, oh great, now you're gonna go somewhere and now you're gonna be in Amsterdam. And I so am, like, the first thing I said to her, and she was awesome, her name is Sam, and I was like, Sam, I'm totally coming. She's like, come, like, I want you to come. And there was another girl there from Australia, I'm like, I'm coming to stay with you. She's like, please do, you know. So it's really funny because, like, I will, you know, like, I'll be that person that totally, like, goes. And you have to, it's all about the adventure, you know. And it's like, if you could take it and you meet people like that, it kind of takes you the furthest you can. You know, I don't have, like I told you, I don't have an education, but my knowledge and my strengths come from all my experiences in life.
Right. That's cool. I mean, and you had told me about your hair and makeup experience.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. We got a little short there. You had told me about your hair and makeup experience, that a lot of times doing weddings, you end up at the wedding. Like, people, you know,
you do, yeah, their
hair and makeup, and then you do end up at their, them saying, come on, come to the wedding.
Yeah, yeah. So. And I've gotten amazing cards from brides saying, like, people that I didn't know, you know, saying, like, I couldn't imagine my day without you.
Right.
And it's so wild because it's like, wow. You know, it's like, we create it. Everybody says, like, you ever have a bridezilla? Like, every single time I'm in there, I'm like, you ever have a bridezilla? I'm like, no, right. I don't. Because when you go in, it's just like, it's all about the energy. And I'm a big energy-driven person, right? So you go in and you have that attitude, like, today is the day. You're like, this is going to be the best day. Especially, like, it's a rainy day. I walk in, I'm like, I'm so excited for you. And they're like, it's raining. I'm like, hell no, that's the best. That's the best for photos. You could really integrate. And you just turn that energy around, and you make it, like, who cares? Cares if it's raining, like, incorporate the beautiful raindrops into your, you know, into it. Like, my best friend's wedding day, it was torrential downpouring. We were 30 minutes late because we could not see down Route 35, the driver of the bus. And it was just like, they incorporated the raindrops off of the car into everything. And it was so beautiful. It's like, who cares, you know? So it's totally about the energy you bring into the room.
Well, that's a cool attitude, I think. Yeah, for sure. So in your free time, which you seem to have so much of. I mean, how do you do real estate and weddings? Because it seems like both are very weekend intensive, right?
They are, right? So
how do you balance
it? I'm lucky enough to have people that can answer. I could forward calls to. I'm actually forcing my sister to get a real estate license. Right. So, so hey, she wants to pay off that college debt. Somebody's got to help her.
Right.
So, I want to be easy accessible to my clients at all times, right? So when I will have the weddings and so forth, I will be able to, my sister will be able to answer the phone, or if anybody in work, like, I have amazing people that I work with that I so trust with my business that I could forward my calls, they could schedule the planning and I could, like, pay them and so forth.
Gotcha.
You know, in the real estate industry, people think it's so alone, but, like, when you work for a great company, everybody wants to help each other out. It's not like one back against the next, you know? We truly care about one another and want to see each other. There's enough business out there for everybody, right? So if I have somebody call in or if I go on vacation, they're totally taking over for me. And that's, like, one thing. I don't ever look at my, like, my coworkers like I'm working against them. Like, we're always working together. We give each other advice. We help each other. So I have no problem, like, passing my business along with them because I'm confident they're going to do just as good as I am.
And then one of your passions is travel.
Yes.
So how'd that get started?
Yeah.
And what kind of places have you been to?
Oh my God. So I drove cross country twice.
Nice.
My sister has moved to Vegas once. So me, her, and she's like our sister at this point. She's not even a friend. Megan, we drove cross country and that was awesome. And then one of my good girlfriends, Andrea, was living in California and wanted to move back. So I flew out to Cali and then we drove back, and what a blast. Nashville both times was my favorite place.
Was it?
Yeah. Louisiana is pretty awesome. I want to do the northern route, which is, this is, you're going to laugh when I tell you this, because as I said, I take any opportunity I can. I have a client I'm working with now and she lives out in Colorado and she's going to be moving back. I went out with her a few times. She's like, yeah, I'm dreading May because I'm going to have to drive back and drive back by myself. I was like, dude, I'm totally taking that ride with you. She's like, really? I'm like, no, I'm serious. She's like, no, you're serious. I'm like, no, I'm serious. I will fly to Colorado and we're taking the northern route back. So that's probably happening.
That's awesome.
So I'm going to finally get to do my northern route. So I'm super excited about that. But
that is cool. I did the northern route to Vegas once, which was sweet. And the drive through Colorado is, like, unforgettable. Like,
yeah.
It's crazy driving through the Rockies. And
Yeah. So that's amazing. What I'm excited. So she wants me to come out, like, 2 days early so she could show me Colorado and then we'll drive back. And that's, like, the perfect time of year too, May. So I'm excited for that. But I don't know. I always just dreamt of, like, the big world, right? So my best friend that lives out in California, she wanted to plan a trip to go through Europe. And it was like back then, it was when I was 27, right?
So
she wanted me to do this trip. And it wasn't like the basic Euro trip, like Italy, France. She was like, we're going to go to Prague. And like now this is becoming like a thing. But before it wasn't when we were doing it. We were so cool before all you people. Just kidding. So we did that. We did Croatia. And what a great trip. We went to Montenegro. Where else did we go? I can't even think of Vienna in Austria. It wound up being a freak heat wave while we were there. So we were like just going to every museum because it was the only thing that was air conditioned.
Right.
But Prague was awesome. When we went to Prague, we went to this, we went off the beaten path to this place, this town called Kuntahara. And we met these awesome au pairs from, there was like six or five of them from, where were they from? Sweden.
Right.
Sweden and Amsterdam. And one of them was actually living out there. She was an au pair, but she was from California. Her name was Jess. So we wound up staying in a hostel with them. Mm-hmm. And we had a blast. We went out with them. We partied, like such a great time. And the next day we were going out to Kuntahara. We were taking a train to Kuntahara to this thing. It's called the Zedlak Observatory in Kuntahara. It's a bone church, right?
Wow.
So whatever year there was a war, all these people died, whatever. That sounds horrible. Not whatever. I am so sorry. Not whatever. Right. God bless them. That was so mean. But instead of burying them all, they were dismantled. So they have like femurs here, like bone. Like it was wild. Look it up. It's so cool.
That's crazy.
So we wound up taking the train out and we missed our stop. So the train guy said, well, on your way back, you're going to take, he said, get off this stop or on our way back, we'll pick you up and take you to the next one. But that's going to be an hour and a half. But if you wanted to get there quicker, get off the train, follow the rail line for like a 20-minute walk and you'll be there. We're like, all right, well, we have nothing else to do, so we might as well walk it.
Sure.
Like there's six of us. Well, he didn't tell us that it's like the Shaloin Greens of Czech Republic.
Right.
It was wild. It was like the, like, no windows, curtains over, like high grass.
Right.
Like you felt the eyes like staring out the distance, like staring at all these girls walking through that were clearly not from there.
Right.
So we all put our passports in our underwear and grabbed rocks that we were calling kill rocks. We're like, F it. Yeah. If we're going down, we're going down.
Right.
You know? So nothing obviously wound up happening to us, but it was so wild.
Wow.
So we made it to the church and it was such a cool experience. Yeah. And I think they're actually one of the girls, was it Jana or I can't think of one of them. She sent us an article that they might be the building structurally unsound, and if they can't fix it, they're gonna have to dismantle it.
Oh, wow.
Which is kind of wild, right? What are the odds you have to dismantle the dismantled place?
Exactly.
The bones of the dismantled bones.
That's right. They'll leave it in like an organized pile.
Yeah,
like,
as I look over at this bat with like barbed wire on it. Weird. So they might have to take it down. So it was kind of cool that we got to visit this like piece of history. So that was like just the beginning of such an awesome trip, going then down to Zagreb, which was my favorite part of the trip because it was not planned. And we wound up that's the capital of Croatia.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't part of the plan. There wound up being some fluke flooding and we had to like kind of derail our trip a little bit. And we went there and we stayed in not an Airbnb, a bed and breakfast.
Right.
And this guy picked us up from the airport and it was his house we were staying at. And he picked us up in his little like European car and brought us back to his house. And they lived upstairs and downstairs was where we all stayed. And it was just so humble. Like we woke up, we had fresh like ham, fresh made bread out of the oven and like awesome coffee. And it was just, I don't know, so humble.
Uh-huh.
There's something just so sweet about it. That was probably my favorite part of the trip.
That's really cool.
And then we wound up going down to Croatia to Dubrovnik, which is stunning in itself.
Right.
And I think that was the only time during the trip that my mom legitimately like, called me on WhatsApp or whatever it was because she had to tell me that James Gandolfini died. And I was like, well, thanks, Mom. She's like, he's right across the water from you. I'm like, what? You want me to swim there?
Back?
You want me to go and like, what do you want me to do? Like, sorry, James. Like, RIP. I don't know. It was so funny. I'm like, yeah, I'm alive here. Sorry, James. So it was really funny. Then we wound up taking a day trip down to Montenegro, which was pretty wild because it's like owned by the Russians at this point. Like all signs are in Russian.
Oh,
and I remember us getting off the bus and we were in Budva. And they were like, you could either like follow us this way, we're gonna go through, it was like a street fair type thing, or you could go straight down and like lead to the water. I'm like, all right, you know, we'll walk down to the water. And it was me, my girlfriend Michelle, and Veronica. And as we're walking down, I remember this alleyway. And all's we're like tunnel vision. We're like, there's a beautiful water. Like, just walk down this alleyway, right?
Right.
So as we're walking down this alleyway, there's a cutout, which was a restaurant. It was like huge butcher block table with like 20 Russian men. Yeah, I was like, oh boy. So we're walking, and again, we're clearly not from there. You could.
Were you still packing killer rocks at
feel,
the time?
No, I wish. You could feel their eyes burning through us walking, and I'm like, oh, please, dear God. Like, this is just not right here. So, like, we walked past them, and, you know, obviously nothing happened, but it was just like the feeling, like, I felt their eyes on us, like, just eating at us.
Wow.
And, but it was, aside from that, it was beautiful. Budva was beautiful, the beaches and everything there.
Right.
And it was just such an awesome trip. It was, I remember just sitting there on the balcony every night staring and just being so impressed with myself that I was able to do this trip, because I was sheltered my whole life. You know what I mean? Like, as much as I had great experiences, like, when you grow up in the U.S. and you have a big family and Italian and all that stuff, you're like, you're covered. And you don't realize it. You think you're worldly and you've, like, had all these experiences until you go to Europe and you have no idea what world is about.
Totally.
So I made it through it. I definitely learned what anxiety was while I was there.
Right.
And but we got through it, you know, and it was cool to kind of like, it's like a relationship. Like, anything in life is like a relationship. So it's like, when you get through like that, those really hard times and those hard trips, you're like, oh my God, I made it. I'm a better person. I learned from it.
Right.
And that's kind of how life is always about.
Right. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Any other trips aside from Colorado in the works for you?
Colorado, Amsterdam. My girlfriend Alyssa is getting married. She's actually from the town where Goonies was filmed. So I'm excited to go there. We're definitely, you're welcome. I see your face. Be jealous. We're going there.
What town is that?
No idea. She just told me that. So I'm like, yes, we're going. So that'll be.
Go look for, what is it?
Yes.
Chester, what's Rusty Copper? What's the guy's name?
Oh, I don't know.
Chester Copperpot.
Chester Copperpot.
Sweet. Yeah, Chester Copperpot. Holy crap. Yes.
Something in Oregon.
It's in Oregon. I have to find it out, and I'll tag you guys in. When I'm there, I'll tag the podcast and everything in it. Yes.
Sweet.
You're
Send
welcome.
Back some pics.
Yeah, definitely. So that'll be fun. And then, I don't know. I don't know, aside from that, what's, you know, going to happen. Hopefully that one. And my best friend's getting married, and she's definitely going to want to go somewhere. So I think she said something about California. So
When you get invited to friends' weddings, do you go strictly as a guest, or do you do makeup as well?
90% of the time I'm doing hair and makeup.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Do you enjoy it, though?
Yeah. You know what? I do. It's like I said, it's always like a being, you feel completely attached to the day.
Right.
You know, and sometimes, like, now as I'm getting older, it's like much more exhausting. Like, the other day, like, I did my girlfriend's hair and makeup, and by the time like 10 o'clock rolled around, I'm like, holy crap.
Right.
Like, I'm just, I don't have it in me anymore as to where I did when I was younger. But it's still, it's like I said, it's so fun being part of the day, because you truly get to see everything. But I will say, I do think destination weddings are the best.
Yeah.
Because when you have a wedding here, it's one day, right?
Right.
It's one day. The day's so long and it's so exhausting. You don't really get to enjoy it. But when you have a destination wedding, it's like 5 days of you.
Right. That's
so
cool.
One of my good girlfriends got married in Ireland a few years ago, and we did everything there. And holy crap, it was 2 weeks of straight fun. A lot of Irish coffee every morning. Like, we had a to-go cup every morning of Jameson and coffee. Again, I'm not an alcoholic, I swear. It just comes to that.
I just
every
play
time.
One on the podcast. That's awesome. So I do want to touch on, we'll shift gears from tequila and Jameson to, you said you do like to support pediatric cardiac defects.
How did
that come about, and what do you do?
So for me, it's just any type of charity that we can get involved in, and that makes it, like, that's why LTD even more makes me so happy to be a part of LTD, because the RE/MAX company I'm with, they do a lot of children's awareness and like charities for them. I myself, in 1989, when I was 5 years old, had open heart surgery.
Wow.
So everybody's born with a hole in the heart and it closes, and mine didn't, expanded, right?
Right.
So it's called the atrial septal defect. So I had open heart surgery, and I remember it.
Really?
And that's even crazy. I remember them scrubbing me down in a pink tub with that ugly brown soap before. And I remember waking up, and it's so wild because I closed my eyes and I can picture when I opened my eyes for the first time. And I was in the corner of the recovery room, and there was windows to both sides. And when I opened my eyes, my dad was standing right here.
Right.
And like I said, I'm a visual person. So it's like things like that, memories I don't forget.
Right.
The little boy in my room had leukemia. And they only told me a few years ago they actually passed. But this was when Newark Children's Hospital was around. It's not even around anymore.
Right.
And his father was a Newark firefighter.
Oh, wow.
And he would come and they'd bring the bucket up and he would stand in the window to like see his son. It was like, and I remember that.
Wow.
It was also, it was Easter while I was in there. So I always remember like all the volunteers, and that's why like to me, like to be able to donate or do anything for kids that needed help, like volunteering for me is like a huge, huge thing. And, and people don't understand like how much that means to children, like why they're in the hospital. Like those you see me, I close my eyes and I remember those fond memories of how those people that weren't getting paid like tried to make me feel good on like what could possibly be the worst time of my life.
Totally.
So it's crazy, you know, and for me it's trauma, you know, and people don't realize like down the line like how it affects you and like those memories. And I remember all of it. Like back then they didn't do sutures or anything. They used wire. So I had this electric blue wire weave through my skin, and I remember looking at it, and I still have, I don't care what anybody says, I have a stuffed animal in my bed, and his name is Belly Rub, Bunny Rub, he's got two names. And when I didn't feel good, my father went down to whatever, like the little gift shop, and he got, it was a puppet and it was a little bunny, and he would rub my stomach to make my stomach feel better. So I literally, he's on my bed with me.
That's
and
cool.
He was lost in Florida. Disney World sent him back. Shout out to Disney World. Epcot Center. And they mailed him back to me. And he's just like, it's just something like that. You know, you always remember.
Right.
And it is. It's wild. So that's
cool.
That's why that means so much to me.
Yeah, it's amazing. What was your recovery like? Like, is it something you still have to monitor now?
I did later. I mean, I probably still should. I think they said every 4 years I should. But I still go for like all my physical stress tests, all that.
Right.
And I think I'm great. Like, I've always had great blood pressure. Everything's always good. So...
So were you kind of lucky to have it discovered at that age? Do you remember the circumstances?
So I think, I don't really remember the circumstances. I know we, like, my parents briefly talk about it. Again, like I told you, like, my parents are really cool about, like, not holding, like, the special tag over my head for things, you know, because this day and age, it's, like, so dramatic with kids. It's like, all right, well, you gotta, like, you're going to play soccer and sports and figure it out. Like, you're no different than the next.
Right.
So I did. I wound up playing soccer for most of my life and became an animal. I loved it. I played soccer. I played with the best team. The girls and I were together since we were younger. And then, I don't know. I just, the true relationship we had with each other, we didn't even have to talk on the field. We worked together so well.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, we were good.
Awesome. I appreciate you coming in today.
Thank
you. Sharing your story. So once again, people should find you on Instagram at Christine_Visconti. How do you want people to, how should people find you for hair and makeup type of stuff?
I actually have Instagram too. It's, I just started it. I've been doing this since I was 18. I'm 35 now. And all my friends, and they're like, why don't you have an Instagram? So if you look at, I have, it's C Visconti, underscore, C Visconti MU.
Sweet.
On Instagram, so.
And what's the MU?
Makeup.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. Check me out. Fancy. No, I tried to make it bigger, but it just didn't work. So
that was cool. All right. So check out Christine. She's with RE/MAX Real Estate LTD in Red Bank.
Yeah.
And again, with the hair and makeup.
Yeah.
Check that out. And if you got a free place for her to stay, she's always she's game for checking out new places.
I'm always couch surfing.
Awesome. My name's Evan Balmer. Follow me on Instagram at Evan Balmer. And check out the Mullet Cast on Facebook. Thank you.
Thanks,
Christine.
Thank you. Ciao.